Welcome to another episode of Romance Romp. I'm your host, Kimi Allen. Today, I have author Susan Bishop Crispell with me. Susan writes stories with a pinch of magic and a dash of love. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Oh, sure. You're welcome. So first, I always like to find out a little bit about my guests as far as their reading style and reading habits, because I think we all kind of start out as readers. So if you don't mind just telling me a little bit about yourself, like as a reader, like what kind of genres you like, and we'll go from there.
Sure. I'm one of those weird writers who did not read a lot growing up.
Okay.
I was much more into music and art, and I kind of found reading late high school and then really fell in love with it when I got to college.
Okay.
And so from there, once I got into it, I had a friend who got me in with romance novels. And I think the first ones I started reading were Nora Roberts and read everything she'd put out, you know, back in early to mid 2000s. And from there, I really kind of branched out. And now I read a lot of women's fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm happier if there is a love story component to them. I do read some thrillers, but really if it doesn't have a love story, it's probably not going to hold my interest nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
I do also read a lot of young adult books.
Okay.
So those are kind of the two primary genres I'm reading in right now, at least for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
But within those, you know, I do like fantasy. I like anything that's a little bit weird and quirky and magical. Magical realism is one of my favorites. So like more traditional magical realism plus kind of the weird magic in the real world stories that seem to be coming out now. Those typically tend to be where I'm going to go. If the story is a little bit odd, has quirky characters in small towns, I'm definitely there for it.
Well, that's good to know. So that is a little bit interesting that you said that you're a little bit a late reader. And when you said that, like, I thought you were going to say like in your 20s but or something. So a high school, I mean, it is a little different because I'd say for myself, like I was like reading at like early, you know, and staying up late and all that stuff. But however we get here is fine. We don't all have to get here the same way, I think. So
yes.
So are there any subgenres within romance that you really like? I mean, Nora writes mostly, I think, contemporary. I'm not a huge Nora Roberts reader. But is there anything that you particularly like within romance?
I'm not sure that there's any specific like subgenre that I tend to gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's more like the women's fiction with a heavy romantic plot to it,
mm-hmm,
is what I typically read these days.
Mm-hmm.
More just because while I love a good romance,
mm-hmm,
I also really like family dramas.
Sure.
I like when, you know, there are siblings or mother-daughter relationships or, you know, really close friendships that, mm-hmm, feel like family.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the types of stories that I'm really interested in reading. Just it's got kind of more of a world to it.
Sure. No. Yeah, I understand it. And I've seen more and more traditional romance authors are seeming to stretch out a little bit more and do women's fiction. Like there's a romance author, Chanel Clayton, who has up to this point been traditionally like a contemporary romance author, and she just published earlier this month like a historical women's fiction. It definitely has romantic elements. It's called Next Year in Havana. It's so good. But it's definitely not a traditional romance. And I read 90% of the time just romance. But I think part of it is because way back in the day when I was reading women's fiction, not many of them had a really strong romantic element.
Right.
But I'm more open to reading women's fiction if it has a strong romantic element. I'm really here for a love story. I enjoy also a general growth journey. I don't mind it at all. I love the family drama. I love all that. But I really, in any sort of book I read, I really want to see a love story.
Yeah, I'm very much the same way. Is if there's a love story in there, it's going to hook me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to keep reading for. But I think I kind of burned myself out on the kind of traditional contemporary romance
mm-hmm. yeah.
in the mid-2000s because I just gorged myself on it. And I was like, okay, that was fun. Now let me do something else for a while.
Yeah. No, I get it. And, you know, some of my romance reading friends are like, I absolutely will not read women's fiction. And I'm like, that's okay. I mean, whatever everybody wants to read, it's fine with me. But I'm definitely, you know, more than willing to read it. That's kind of where I got my start. Like as an adult reader, I guess you will, I was reading a lot of women's fiction. And then yeah. it just was so expensive. And with ebooks, I discovered like romance. But, you know, I'm not super picky. But if you're into historical fiction at all, it's interesting that Chanel Clayton book, because it's historical and modern day. It's like told from two different, like a grandmother and a daughter. And it's set in Cuba. Yeah. And so there's definitely like this love story happening of Cuba as well. So it just... Right. It was very fascinating. I strongly recommend it. But
cool. Yeah, we'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. So are you reading anything in particular now, or any books that you're really looking forward to coming up?
I'm not reading anything at the moment, only because I'm kind of heavily working on my next book,
mm-hmm.
and I can't read and write at the same, like in the same time frame.
Sure.
So if I'm writing, I get up before work and I write. And if I'm lucky enough to take a lunch break, I'll write on my lunch break. And then I write after work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't make time for reading. So currently don't have any books that I'm in the middle of. But there are a couple that are coming out soon that I'm really excited about. There's one by Camille Pagan that comes out next week, I think. And it's Woman Last Seen in Her 30s.
Okay.
And I'm really excited about that one. It's about a woman who I think she's in her 50s now, and her husband leaves her, and she realizes that she's built her whole life around this man and now is trying to figure out who she was back when they got together and if she can be that girl again, or, mm-hmm. you know, if she wants to be somebody totally different.
Okay.
So that one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more along the women's fiction line, but I do think there's some romance in it.
Sure.
But I think that's kind of the ones at the top of my list right now that I know it's coming out soon, and I can't wait to read it.
Okay.
And then Amy Reichert's new book, I think, comes out in May, and it's The Optimist's Guide to Letting Go.
Okay.
And that one is another one that I'm super excited about. She writes very fun, sweet love stories. Usually with really quirky characters and small town, always lots of food, which is so much fun. I think this one has a grilled cheese food truck,
oh,
the main
wow.
character owns. So I'm like, that one sounds a lot of fun to me too.
That seems to be a thing. I've seen it in contemporary romance, more books having food trucks, because I guess that's just kind of like a cultural thing we're seeing more of. So being incorporated in fiction just makes natural sense.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a quick pause to hear a message from our sponsor, but when we get back, I'll be talking to Susan about her transition to an author and her most recent release. Wonder Book and Video connects over 2 million books with readers each year and has been serving book lovers for over 35 years. With locations in Frederick, Hagerstown, and Gaithersburg, Maryland, Wonder Book and Video is the only place you'll ever need to find your next read. And yes, Wonder Book and Video has a huge variety of romance novels from which to choose. Can't find something in the store? Check out wonderbook.com, and for the month of March, get 15% off your next romance novel purchase in store or online with promo code ROMROMP. That's ROMROMP. Wonder Book and Video, a book lover's paradise. So before the break, Susan, we talked about your experiences as a reader. So how or when did you decide that you wanted to really transition to being an author?
I realized I wanted to write once I got to college. I grew up in Tennessee and moved to Wilmington, North Carolina to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my heart set on being a marine biologist. I really wanted to work with killer whales. The movie Free Willy came out when I think I was in seventh grade, and I just fell in love. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And so from seventh grade till I graduated, that's really what I thought my life was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I picked my college based on marine biology and loved the town. So when I got here, I realized, oh, crap, I'm not very good at swimming, which you have to be. Like at the time, I wanted to work at SeaWorld. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not good at swimming. No way I can do that. I'm good at science, but it's not my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so, freshman year, I called my mom sobbing because I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And she was like, calm down. You're going to be fine. You'll figure it out. You don't have to decide today. Mm-hmm. And so when it came time to register for classes for my sophomore year, there was an intro to fiction class that was open. And I thought, you know what? I can try it. I like to read. That could be fun. And if it's not, then I can drop it and find something else. Mm-hmm. And took this class and within a couple weeks was absolutely in love with it and thought, oh yeah, this is definitely what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And from there, haven't really stopped writing since.
Well, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So your most recent book, Dreaming in Chocolate, released on February 6th. So congratulations for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So can you give me a brief synopsis of the book?
Sure. It is about a single mom, Penelope, who owns a chocolate cafe in this small town in Western North Carolina that's fictional. Mm-hmm. And she is raising her daughter and kind of working at this chocolate shop with her mom. And the special thing about the chocolate shop is that they have this apothecary table that they keep in the kitchen that gives them recipes. Okay. It refills all of their ingredients and just kind of gives them things that they need when they need it. And most of the recipes that come out of this table have some sort of magical component. So they'll make hot chocolate that will let you dream of your true love, or they'll give you truffles that are, you know, going to give you a spark of energy to help you get through your day. And so she's working in this magical chocolate shop, raising her daughter, and her ex comes back to town, and the daughter is 8 years old and is very sick and probably isn't going to get better. Mm-hmm. And so Penelope and Ella are kind of working through a bucket list of all the things that Ella wants to do to make her very happy in whatever time she has left. And Ella decides that she wants to get her parents back together. Mm-hmm. And so most of the story is kind of following Penelope and Noah as they navigate through all of their problems when he left when they were younger and doesn't know that he has a daughter. And so just kind of their relationship of getting over all of their past issues with each other and trying to decide if they want to come together to have a little family with their daughter.
Sure. So it's a second chance at love, which is always a great trope to kind of pull on. So one of the things in this book is you mentioned the daughter, Ella, has a very serious illness. So how do you kind of straddle that line of having like a very serious issue, but also it not overtaking the story and or being like too sad?
Yes, that was a very fine line when I came up with the idea of, you know, making Ella so sick, because I didn't want it to be a sad story. Mm-hmm. I knew it was really going to be kind of a hopeful story and a story about love and people finding their way back to each other when they need it most. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's part of how the bucket list comes into play, is Penelope is so focused on doing things to make her daughter happy and to give her all these really great experiences, even, you know, really small ones. Like Ella wants to dye her hair a fun color, or she wants to have cake for breakfast. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not all big life-changing things that she wants to do. She just wants to be fun, you know, be a kid, have a lot of fun. And so I think focusing on those aspects helped me keep it lighter than mm-hmm. it could have been.
Sure.
And then also bringing in the romance and the magic helps too. Mm-hmm. And the romance and the magic are very much tied together in this story. So that, you know, keeping all of those things in mind as I was plotting it out mm-hmm. helped to keep it a little bit lighter hopeful.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what is it about magic that has you so interested in it that you want to like kind of weave it into your stories?
That's a good question. I really love the idea that there could be magic in the world, you know, not necessarily witches and wizards doing all sorts of crazy spells, just that there are things that are out there that are part of nature and part of the universe itself that, you know, make life a little more interesting. And, you know, some of that for me stems from the idea of fate, that things happen for a reason. The choices you make are leading you to specific places or to people that you need. And taking that idea, but then bumping it up a notch and giving it kind of a supernatural part to it. It's a lot of fun to write and just take a world as we know it and make it a little bit different, make it a little more interesting, a little more quirky. For me, it's just a lot of fun to write about and to see how these different elements can affect characters and kind of bring them back to the core of themselves. Usually when I write magic, whatever that magical element is, it ties into who my characters are and kind of forces them to make decisions and do things that they might not do without it. So for me, it just makes it a more interesting way to write a story.
Sure. I mean, that sounds interesting. And I would imagine like with the magic, it also allows, sorry, picking up a lot of feedback. Are you still there?
Yep. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. For a second, it was like picking up a lot of feedback. So hold on. I'll ask that again. So I was just saying that that sounds great. And I also imagine like with the magic, like you mentioned, it kind of gives them the ability to maybe do things that they wouldn't come to on their own.
Yeah, I think, you know, having, in this case, you know, there are magical chocolates that allowed Penelope to dream of her true love. And she dreamt of Noah, and then he left her and left her pregnant. And so in her mind, she's like, okay, well, maybe he wasn't it. Maybe he was just leading me to my daughter. But now her daughter is sick and, you know, might not make it. And she has to reevaluate all of these decisions she's made based on drinking this hot chocolate when she was, you know, 18 years old. And so all of these choices she's made, maybe they weren't the right ones, or maybe they led her down a path that she wouldn't have gone down without it. And so I find that really fascinating on why people make the decisions that they make, and throwing in that magical element just gives it, you know, takes it to a different level.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So when I was looking at your book and the description and everything, one of books that came to mind to me, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but Laura Florand, she writes pretty strictly romance, but she has this series called The Chocolate Series, and specifically the second book in the series is called The Chocolate Kiss, and the heroine and her aunts, they run like a small chocolate shop in Paris, and one of the things that they have is a magical like hot chocolate. So if you're looking for, when you're ready to read, if again, if you're looking for a very interesting romance that I think kind of has like some parallels with your book, and she has very, very witty and snappy dialogue. It tends to go really, really quickly. And the first time, as a side note, one of the first times I read her books, I wasn't reading on a Kindle, and some of it's in French. And so I was like, I don't know what's going on. but now I know that Kindle has like a translator, so it feels much better to me. But yeah, they have magical hot chocolate there. So, you know, little magical elements are happening. So, and it like brings them together.
Great. I will definitely check that out.
So one of the other things that I saw that you are involved with is a writer's group called Tall Poppy Writers.
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. The Tall Poppy Writers are a marketing collective of women writers who all got together, and really we support each other online and help promote each other's books. So it's not just one person out there screaming about our own book saying, hey, read this, read this. Mm. It's, you know, 35 or 40 women who are all kind of marketing focused and saying, here are all these really great books that are coming out. These are really smart authors. How can we all, you know, kind of pool mm-hmm. our readership and get a larger, you know, larger group of people who know who we are as a group mm-hmm. and then can find one author and branch out to another one just because we're part of the same organization. That's and so I've been a part of it for almost 2 years now, and it's just a really great group of women. We've got a Facebook group called Bloom, where each week a different poppy takes over for the week. And we do discussions and we post videos and we have games and giveaways. And I think we've got over 6,000 members who are on there and very active, talking books with us all day long. And it's just a lot of fun, a good way to, you know, get to know our readers better and make it feel like it's not quite so much a job. Mm-hmm. Some days being a writer feels like a job, and we all do it because we love it. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to get out there and, you know, talk with other people who love books as much as we do.
Sure, that makes sense. And I think things like that, any sort of like book group, particularly on social media, you know, it's mutually beneficial to the reader and to the authors. Especially in like romance / women's fiction, I think right now, you know, it's a reader's paradise. There's so much out there. There's hundreds of books being released every day. But it can be hard, I think, for authors to kind of really, you know, say like, hey, I have this really awesome book, or my friend wrote this really awesome book, you should check it out. And so I feel like groups like that, like really just help kind of like just, you know, help readers find things. So that's just my take on that.
Yeah, that's, you know, exactly what we're hoping to do is, you know, help people find books that they like, mm-hmm. help people find readers that they like, and just kind of band together and support each other. Instead of seeing other writers as competition, we want to see them as people who we can, you know, help boost up. Because mm-hmm. if one writer is doing better, then all writers are going to do better, because that means people are buying books.
Right.
So that's our whole goal, is to just, you know, keep the book love going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally understandable. So I saw you did a review with USA Today, Happily Ever After, their blog.
Yes.
And so I was reading through that, and I saw that you just recently binged The Good Place.
I did, yes.
I'm like only, I love that show. I think it's so funny, and probably like the best comedy, in my opinion, the best comedy on TV right now. But I haven't I haven't finished the second half of the second season. I've been like waiting to just like sit down and watch it. But I love Kristen Bell. I was going to ask, did you ever watch her when she was on Veronica Mars?
Oh, yes. I'm a huge Veronica Mars fan.
Okay.
I backed their Kickstarter for the movie. Mm. And like, it's, I think when it was on TV and when the DVDs first came out, my husband was working a job where he worked overnights, and he ended up having to work Christmas 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And we weren't around family. So I literally just binged watched Veronica Mars on Christmas Day by myself 2 years in a row. I was like, I love her. I love this show. It'll be my family today.
Yeah, that's awesome. When it was like first on TV, I was like in my late 20s or something, maybe even early 30s. And my sister was like, I think you're too old to watch that show. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And even if I don't care.
Right.
It's amazing.
I don't think you're ever too old to watch that show. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I also saw that you're a fan of Gilmore Girls, which is like
my
favorite show ever. Yeah.
Yes. Right up there at the top of my list with mm-hmm. Pushing Daisies and Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
Like a couple of my shows that only got a few seasons, but absolutely loved them and are weird, fun, really amazing characters mm-hmm. and really good love stories in them too. Like I fell hard for some of those love stories in Gilmore Girls and Veronica Mars.
Mm-hmm. nodding my head hardcore. Nobody can see me, but I am. Yeah, because I saw that also, I think, like, on your website that you watch TV shows that are destined to be, like, canceled early or something. Yes. So I was curious about that. So, of course, that makes sense. Now Veronica Mars and then Pushing Daisies, which they canceled way too soon.
Yes, way too soon.
Yeah.
I also really love Firefly, which okay. only got one season, mm-hmm. and I don't think all of it aired. Wonderfalls, which mm-hmm. is by Brian Fuller, who also did Pushing Daisies.
Right.
I love that one, too.
Yeah, a lot of great shows. I always think it's so interesting that, like, now I talk about books mostly on Twitter. I'm trying to do more Facebook groups, but mostly on Twitter. And so I always think it's so interesting how much overlap there is between people that read the same types of books I do. And like a lot of us have watched a lot of the same shows. And
yeah.
So it's just very interesting to see like this whole big overlap on all the things that I love. You know, there's nothing quite like feeling like, yeah, I really have found like some neat, interesting people like my tribe. And we all have these very common things. So,
yes, for me, I love when I find people reading a book that I love mm-hmm. or talking about it or talking about a TV show that I love. And instantly I'm like, oh, you're my kind of person.
Right.
We will get along really well if you're enjoying that.
Exactly. Exactly. So I saw on Twitter that maybe you're working on like your next book, that it's a book about sisters.
Yes, okay. It is.
Okay.
I'm about 200 pages into it
mm-hmm.
and it's about two half-sisters who did not grow up together, really have no relationship at all,
mm-hmm.
and are now being forced to share their grandmother's beach house and try and find a way to be sisters again.
Mm.
And for me, like, I have a sister. We were not close growing up until maybe I was in eighth grade,
mm-hmm.
and since then we have been best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun writing a book about sisters who are not friends at all and know nothing about each other, because my sister and I are so close. We actually used to watch Gilmore Girls together, but separately.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was in North Carolina and she was back home in Tennessee, Tuesday nights, we'd both watch an episode. Then we'd call each other and talk for an hour afterwards.
That's amazing.
And so it's fun writing about sisters who are not close and trying to bring them together and have them find things about themselves that are so similar. And they just expected that they would have nothing in common and would leave this vacation thinking, okay, we did it. We never have to see each other again.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing, oh, wait, I actually kind of like her. Maybe we should try and be sisters.
Yeah. My sister and I are half sisters and we're 11 years apart. So, so a lot of times it feels like we grew up, like we sometimes will joke and say we're two only children. and so like we didn't connect like on a really sisterly level until like, I want to say like the last 6 to 8 years. So,
okay.
So I love reading stories about sisters.
I
just do. Like, it's one of my favorite things. In fact, Kristen Higgins had a really good story last year. I think it came out at the beginning of 2017 that was about half-sisters that I really enjoyed, you know, where they didn't really get along and have to, like, you know, one goes through a thing and then they're like, oh, we're really not that different. Like,
yeah.
And just trying to figure out how to put all the pieces together. So I definitely will look for that. And do you have any timeline or you're still just working on it? No pressure. No pressure.
Yeah, no. Currently still just working on
it. Okay.
Talked with my agent a week or so ago and we're talking timelines on when I might be done with it and when she can put it out on submission to editors.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping sometime this spring,
okay.
But that's if I can actually keep focused and get it done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you have, you know, like other things to do, like a life and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, pesky details.
I have a
details.
Day job that I love, but it gets in the way of writing
yeah.
all the time.
I understand. I have a day job that I love too, and it gets in the way of my reading sometimes, and it's very inconvenient.
Yeah. That's always hard. I was definitely always the one at work who, if I showed up 10 minutes late, I'd walk in and they're like, so how is your book?
Yeah.
Clearly you didn't want to put it down this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, people that have never stayed up too late to read a book, you know, like, well, I'll just read one more chapter. You know, it's never one more chapter. But
yeah, my husband has learned if I say I'll read till the end of this chapter, mm-hmm. like he has to ask me every 5 seconds, are you there yet? Otherwise, I'll get to the end and be like, I've got a couple more pages in the next chapter. I can do that. And yeah. Then I'm done for another 2 hours.
I don't know if you ever read on Kindle, but like while you're reading on Kindle, it'll start to pick like your pick up on your reading speed. So yes. It'll tell you like, oh, there's 6 minutes left in the chapter. Okay. You know, and then one right. more. And then it's like, okay, there's 13 minutes. And I'm like, I can just crank that out really quickly.
Right. You're like, that's nothing at all.
Yeah. It's not like midnight.
You know, it's 3 a.m. and.
Right. But it's like, I have to figure out what these people are doing. Like, you know, and there's nothing quite like getting ready for bed or whatever. And then like, it's the black moment and you're like, but now I have to see how they recover. Like,
right. You know. I mean, you can't leave them hanging. Mm-hmm.
No, no, you can't do that to the fictional people. But yeah,
you really can't.
Yeah. I know. There's nothing more frustrating if I'm like reading on lunch and then I'm like, oh my gosh, my lunch break is over. I need to know.
I tried a couple times to read on my lunch break and then realized it was just not possible for me to do it because mm-hmm. I was not going to be focused enough to go back to work.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I can maybe write and get that done in my half an hour or an hour. But reading, as soon as I'm into a book, the rest of the world falls away mm-hmm. and going back to work after that was not going to happen.
Yeah. I know that everybody reads differently, but just the way that my brain works, like I never really understand the people that are like, oh yeah, I've been reading this book for like weeks or, you know, oh, I'll like pick it up and then put it down for like a couple days. I'm like, why would you do that? Like, how right. can you do that?
Yeah, I don't know how people can do it either. I'm also a little confused and impressed at the same time by people who can read multiple books at once. Mm-hmm. Like, I really love the idea of that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when I'm into a book, that's all I want to do.
Right.
So I can't imagine trying to split my time between characters.
Me neither. I have like some blogger friends that are sometimes reading like 3 books at a time. And I'm like, how can you do that? Like, I mean, good for them because my brain just doesn't work like that. Like once I'm invested right. in one.
Mine doesn't either.
Yeah. Once I'm invested in one story series, I mean, you know, I just have to stay there and until I get to the end.
I am the same way.
Yeah. I mean, good for them. Whatever. To each their own. I'm glad that everybody's reading and enjoying it, but that's just never going to be me.
I know. I would much rather just sit there and read it, you know, read one whole book in a day and mm-hmm. then move on to the next one the following day instead of reading multiple books over a couple days.
Yeah.
Just give me one at a time. I'll be happy.
Me too. All right. Well, Susan, that was really all I had for you today. I really appreciate you taking time to chat with me. I'll definitely link to your site so that people can learn more about you as well as your book, Dreaming in Chocolate. And then they can find it at the retailer of their choice if they're interested. And I definitely will stay tuned for your next book in the future. No pressure.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a blast chatting with you today.
All right. And I'm sure maybe I'll see you on the Twitter. And I think I'm going to join your Tall Poppy group so I can see what kind of books you guys are talking about.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Susan.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Romance Romp is produced by Graham Cullen and me. Music by Kelsey Luce. Stay tuned for next week's episode, which features author Aislinn Kearns. And again, thank you to our sponsor, Wonderbook and Video.